Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the Empower Health Now radio show. I'm your host, Rebecca Gerard, and we're coming to you from Souk, British Columbia, on beautiful Vancouver Island. Our shows are about empowering you in your own innate ability to heal and transform your life. And today we have a very special show, one I've been looking forward to for months. Joining us in our studio today is Christine Upchurch, energy healer, teacher, author, and radio show host of the nationally syndicated The Christine Upchurch Show. Christine offers ways to transform our life by shifting our energetic structure, that unseen part of us that determines every aspect of our human experience, our health and happiness, the relationships and circumstances we attract, even the depth of our intuitive connection. As co-creator of the 111 and 222 activations, Christine will introduce us to this new series of energetic processes being designed to help us lift into a new vibrational pattern, leading us to better clarity, greater well-being, and a deeper spiritual connection. Clients have called these activations life-changing and profound. She will be discussing the importance of patterns within our vibrational fields, how there are easier ways to speed up the transformational process by tapping into the quantum field and utilizing sacred geometry. We'll also hear about the energetic evolution that is underway and how you too can be a part of this. It is with great honor that I welcome you to our show, Christine. I'm so thrilled that you could join us.
Well, it's an honor to be here, Rebecca. Thanks so much for inviting me.
You're welcome. I've spoke about you to so many people, and I know lots of our listeners are looking forward to this show very much. There's a few other things that I'd like to add to my comments before we get started in our conversation. Some of you listeners probably know Christine from over the years, and those of you who don't, Christine has taught many thousands of people around the globe how to tap into subtle energy for healing and transformation. She is also the developer of the Vibration of Change, which provides a new roadmap for positive and lasting change. A former research statistician whose life path changed dramatically after healing herself from cancer, Christine has been working within the realm of energy medicine and self-empowerment for more than a dozen years. On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine is passionate about helping to empower individuals to live healthier and more vibrant lives. And I want to thank you, Christine, for all the contributions you are making in helping to raise people's awareness of energy vibration and how all of this affects us.
You know, Rebecca, it's such a pleasure to do this because it's just a part of my mission. It's almost like, you know, we arrive on this planet with a seed planted within us that is to bloom and become a beautiful flower at some point so that others can, you know, get the aroma and enjoy the beauty. And I believe that each of us is that way. And my mission is to help people to shift vibrationally because it's the vibration that determines the reality. And it's our own individual vibration that affects what we attract into our lives, and it's the collective vibration that determines what kind of world we are creating.
Yeah, it sure does. And, you know, since I've been involved in this aspect of, you know, raising vibration and these new frequencies, the energies that are coming to us, the transformation has really been quite profound, including with those people who are around me and the type of people that have come into my life.
Uh-huh.
It's almost been like magic.
I know. It's funny, too, because I know for me, for many, many years, I pushed away my mission. You know, Rebecca, when I was, it was between my junior and senior year, I was trying to determine what I was going to do. You know, I've got a scientific background like you do. I did undergraduate work in mathematics, graduate work in statistics. But between my junior and senior year of college, I was trying to decide what I was going to do with my life. And so one day I was walking along and I actually heard a voice inside my head that wasn't the usual voice. You know, we have these voices that say, oh, your thighs are getting a little chubby, or, you know, you need to run to the grocery store, or, you know, that even the regular intuitive voice of stay away from that person. This was like a disembodied separate voice that said, you're a healer. And it actually literally stopped me in my tracks. I was on a walk. I'm like, what the heck? And I thought it was a really egotistical thing, because I thought to be a healer, you know, you had to be have dealt with all your emotional baggage. You had to be holier than thou kind of thing. And I thought my ego is really thinking, you know, a lot of myself here, you know. And then I ignored that and went on and went into graduate school and started working as a statistician in a variety of realms, and eventually got cancer. And, you know, it was like, I had to find my way as a healer of my own body, because doctors had nothing to offer me. It was lymphoma, and you know, they said early treatment's not helpful. In fact, it tends to shorten a person's lifespan. So we're going to wait and watch until it gets to be bad enough, and we're going to put you on chemo the rest of your life. And it's like one of those holy crap moments, like, what? Yeah. You know, here I am, young and vibrant, and they're telling me that this is my life sentence. So I pushed away that mission for a really long time until I had no choice. So I think what's happening to a lot of people, you know, and basically I ended up healing myself. So it was very empowering. It put me on a different path. But I think that there are a lot of people who have either gone through that sort of thing or are going through it right now, where it's kind of like, you know, things as they were, status quo, are no longer working. They're blowing up in terms of health crises, relationship crises, career issues, financial issues. And so it's kind of like the universe is saying, okay, we got to shake things up enough for you to find that mission and to have the potential to raise your frequency, to raise your vibration, as you were talking about, Rebecca. And so I think we're all kind of in this sort of chaotic moment in time when we have a choice to choose a new path.
Yeah, absolutely. There isn't one person who's come to seek me out who doesn't have one or more of the issues that you've mentioned going on in their life.
Yeah, and my clients too, and students, it's standard these days.
Mm-hmm, it is. Well, you know, when I met you some 4 years ago, I was, you know, most impressed with your background in science and math. And I appreciate you sharing a bit about your journey into your healing process, because some of that wasn't clear to me back then.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And, yeah, like you, I've got the scientific background. And so even though I work in what some people would call woo-woo land, you know, subtle energy, as you know, and I'm sure you've shared with your listeners and you share with it on, you know, on your website and Facebook and all that, it's very, very real. And the pragmatist within me is like, okay, well, if you can work within a person's vibrational field and shift things, not only is it real on the scan or whatever you're doing, but how does it affect a person's life? Because if it doesn't help a person, then there's no point in doing it. And
right.
We've found that, you know, with the work that you do, the work that I do, with the work that so many light workers are doing today, it can have profound effects on the individuals. And of course, when you shift an individual, it has a ripple effect to their family, their friends, their community, and I believe the world.
Yeah, absolutely. One fellow that I've been working with in the Seattle area, his family had been so affected by what he was going through, the struggles that he was going through, and health, and it certainly had the full effect of all the other areas of his life. And boy, the first thing that I did was I got in there and worked with his vibrational field, and then, went forward to look at some of the other aspects that, he could address, and how are we going to facilitate those things with him. Mm-hmm. And that whole family, plus his friends, everything got turned around. And it happened so quickly. It was really astounding.
Yeah.
And there's so much joy that has entered into that young man and his family and friends.
And
marvelous work.
That's great. And, as a healer, I've done thousands of sessions, and for the longest time, because I'd healed myself of cancer, I thought, I'm a healer, so I can help people shift their physicality. But one of the things that I discovered along the way is, although that's really a joy to see, it's the other aspects where, people are kind of coming deeper into their authenticity, finding greater joy, where it affects the family in positive ways, like you were saying. It's so exciting, because really, when you get right down to it, what really matters to us within this life is the quality. And that's not just about our physical health. It's about how we feel moment to moment in our daily lives, in terms of how we're showing up, who we're connecting with, and how we feel about ourselves in the world.
Yes, absolutely. So I have a couple questions. When I was reading through, the description of what all you're doing, could you explain what you mean by energetic structures?
You bet. One of the things that I've sort of come to understand as a healer is there are two different kinds of issues a person can have in their vibrational field. Now, this vibrational field that, can be measured in a variety of ways is very real. It's light and energy that flows through us. On an infinitesimal level, we're openness, and this light and energy flows through us. Well, there are two different aspects to our well-being and what we're creating in our lives. One is that energy and light free-flowing through the fine mesh of our physicality? And the other aspect has to do with what kind of vibrational patterns do we have in our fields? Now, typically, when we talk about healing is about releasing a blockage within those pathways. And transformation really has to do with shifting the patterns in our vibrational field. And so in order for us to shift the patterns in our vibrational field, there are a couple of things we can do. We can do it the old-fashioned way, the very human way that most of us are employing in our lives in a variety of ways. And these approaches to changing the kinds of patterns we're experiencing in our lives, whether it's kind of like our overall health, the kinds of relationships we attract, whether we're talking about romantic or friendships, the kind of success we have in our business, the kind of success we have within our abundance, the kind of connection we have to the divine, all that generally can be determined by our vibrational patterns. So to change our vibrational pattern in some ways may be more difficult than actually releasing something that needs to be healed, because we have to use like repeated practice. We need to shift things, and it takes a bit of time. Think in terms of going to a counselor. It typically takes quite a bit of time to process and release and to shift, which helps shift our vibrational pattern. Think about meditation, physical exercise. All these things take time and repetition and focus. So in order to shift our vibrational pattern, it typically takes quite a bit of time and some effort, some focus. Think about meditation. Let's say that we have a tendency to be really reactive to people. We get angry easily. And so we decide we're going to start a meditative practice, become less reactive. So we, you know, meditate maybe 20 minutes a day. And after a week, we're feeling more centered. You know, we feel like we've really shifted. And then, you know, somebody cuts us off in traffic and we feel incredibly agitated and we realize we're not yet there in that new pattern of detachment, that new pattern of not being reactive. And then we continue with the meditation practice 20 minutes a day, you know, for a few more months. And then we go to a family gathering over the holidays and there's our uncle who has a tendency to get drunk and talk about politics, and all of a sudden, you know, we find ourselves getting really agitated. It's because that vibrational pattern, although we've created a new vibrational pattern, has not built up strength. So really, if you think about a, you know, changing our stripes, let's say we've got horizontal vibrational pattern. It's not as simple as that, but let's say we've got horizontal vibrational pattern and we want to turn it vertical. It requires some focus, some repetition to get the tapes to change, so to speak, and then repetition to sort of strengthen it so those stripes stay. So that's the vibrational patterns. And the human way of shifting our vibrational patterns takes effort, time, and focus. So, however, there are ways of tapping into the quantum field, just like with healing, where you can tap into the quantum field and help it facilitate the release of a blockage. You can introduce what I call vibrational structures, which are sacred geometric patterns that get activated in a person's vibrational field that helps to shift their vibrational patterns, which in turn changes the patterns in their life. If you think about it, like, you know, I going back to mathematics, I think about a person's existing vibrational pattern A, and to it, you activate their vibrational pattern and add sacred geometric vibrational pattern B, and you end up with a completely quickly shifted new vibrational pattern C. So by tapping into the quantum fields using these very specific sacred geometric vibrational structures, you can help shift a person's vibrational field quickly and help shift the patterns in their life much more quickly than just the old-fashioned human way.
This is truly amazing, I find, and I've gone through these, you know, two of these activations, and, you know, geometry, I struggled with geometry when I was in high school, and so I'm so visual, and somehow it just didn't make sense to me, but now, with the understandings that I have, it's really quite stunning.
You know, it's funny, Rebecca, because although I'm, you know, a former math major and did mathematical statistics for many years in graduate school, because I had been in an experimental math program when I lived in Lincoln, Nebraska, and between 9th and 10th grade, I moved to the East Coast. It's funny because I managed to go directly into trigonometry and never get plain geometry. So it was kind of fun.
Oh, really?
That. Yes. And when, you know, when these processes first started coming in, and we could talk about that if you want, but when they first started coming in,
sure,
we got pieces of them. And when we put the pieces together, I tell you, the first time I saw this all on a diagram all put together, it brought tears into my eyes because it felt so familiar and so much like home. And it created this sacred geometric shape. And that's the kind of validation my analytic mind likes. It's like, you know, this was a collaborative process, and we had the different pieces, and we put them together, and all of a sudden, it's this beautiful sacred geometry. It's not like we decided to go get a book on sacred geometry and say, okay, which of these things are we going to use to activate, you know, in a person's vibrational field? It was just something that emerged. And the same with the 222, the pieces came together, and when they, you know, you put them together, it's like, oh my goodness. Not only is it sacred geometry, but it makes a whole lot of sense, you know, to the analytic mind when you put all the pieces together.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm with you on the analytic mind part. And that's what I look towards is, you know, does this make sense? And I think for, you know, a lot of people that they're looking towards that. You know,
and
even
the validation
though,
is great. Validation is great.
Yeah,
and
they want the validation. And, you know,
and the science, it's like, okay, for many, many years, thousands of years, actually, there was no scientific validation of a person having an energy field. And in fact, decades ago, there was somebody who debunked it. You know, there is no such thing as an aura kind of thing. But of course, they were wrong. And now science has caught up with it in a variety of different ways of measuring it, which is really exciting. And with these vibrational patterns, we can't measure them. It's like some of us intuit them. And I do believe that on some level, this is all very scientific, but we just haven't come up with a way of evaluating it or even knowing what's the exact question to ask in terms of evaluating a person's vibrational field.
Right. So could you talk with us more about the 111 and the 222 activation?
Sure, I'd be happy to. You know, Rebecca, once upon a time, I was a reconnected healing instructor, and, you know, I traveled around, and most of the areas I taught were in North America, and I travel with a wonderful teaching team, and we would train people to tune in and listen in a new way, and I know you know all about reconnected healing because you're a practitioner yourself, and to tune in a new way and help facilitate healing. And then I also taught, you know, the reconnection, which is a sort of an offshoot of that that has actually a very specific pattern. It's a vibrational structure in and of itself. So, you know, there I was going along merrily, and I had, you know, I'd already gone from this place of being in a very scientific realm that was grounded and well accepted, you know, by the mainstream, to working in this realm of subtle energy. And although I'd been a subject of scientific research and, you know, and had actually helped coordinate some research, actually designed a research study, and knew that there were some scientific, you know, results associated with that, you know, there were things that would happen that couldn't be explained. And, you know, things that I would intuit, I would know exactly who I was going to work on sometimes for the demonstration on, you know, the beginning of the seminar or before I ever worked on them. You know, same thing with presentations. I'd hear voices. I'd have people come up to me and say, well, I just channeled in some information. I don't tell people I channel, but blah, 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 you know, and this is, and they'd give me something that was really relevant. So strange things would happen that would actually went beyond that, those areas that I had validated within my own practice and had been scientifically validated. So anyway, there was a woman who was in one of my seminars who, after attending and you know, learning to interact with this subtle energy, she began to channel, and she claimed to be channeling Archangels Michael and Gabriel. And at that point in my life, I wasn't even sure if I believed in Archangels. So I, you know, I wasn't sure about that. Anyway, you know, I'd interacted with her briefly at the end of one of the seminars. And then fast forward a couple months later, I get a call from one of my colleagues who was on the teaching staff. And this woman had connected with this colleague, actually, you know, went, like flew to her place to get a message to her and to me and a couple of my colleagues. She said, you and Christine have access to these new vibrational structures. Archangel Michael is telling me to tell you that you need to get together with a couple of your colleagues and bring through these new processes that are here to help transform the world. Now, you know, I don't accept anything and everything people say because I do have that skeptical side. But interestingly enough, when this colleague ended up calling me, and it's funny because she didn't call me right away. She ended up calling me at 1:30 in the morning because, like, something that this woman had predicted based on this channeling had come true, and she's, like, calling me. So here we are chatting at 1:30 in the morning, and she told my colleague was telling me what some things that she was starting to intuit and download, and it happened to coincide with things I've been hearing during my healing sessions. And so we had this kind of validation. There's that analytic validation again, Rebecca. We had that validation that there might be something to this. So we got together with a couple of other colleagues, two other women. So there were four of us women. We actually went to the San Juan Islands on a retreat in January of all months, just to see if something would come through. And we really hadn't a clue. We figured at the very least we can have some fun time together, do a little hiking, you know, cook some good meals and hang out together. So interestingly enough, you know, a couple of us had arrived there with certain geometric pieces of this, and we played around in a variety of ways. And a little past midnight on January 11th of 2011, that is on 1/11/11, this process began to come through, and it came through with ease and clarity. And it was, you know, so that's how the 1/11 activation began. And it was a vibrational structure. It's a hands-off process where you're basically through your hands and through your, you know, intention of your mind, activating a particular geometric structure. And so it unfolded over the course of several months. There were a couple of other pieces that we added. And then we went into scientific mode because, you know, it's like we'd already been doing reconnective healing and the reconnection and seeing amazing things. So we decided that we needed to evaluate and see if this 1/11 activation, as we ultimately called it, if it was in any way different, if it shifted things differently for people. And so we kind of did it, you know, under the radar for a while on friends, family, colleagues, and people were having tremendous shifts. They would say afterwards that they had much better intuitive connection, that they would suddenly be speaking their truth, really felt much more connected to their authentic selves, get clarity about direction that they were going. And so ultimately, this is something that not only did we begin to offer to people as processes, we began to train practitioners in this as well. And then with the 222 activation, that's something that came through me, and it's another vibrational structure, very different in design, but again, sacred geometry, and it too has helped shift people's lives. So that was kind of the birthing of these new vibrational structures, and it was not something I expected to ever be bringing through, and yet here I am talking about it on your show.
It's really a remarkable journey how this all came to be, and I'm really thrilled that I found out about it. And had the opportunity to have both of those vibrational structures done, because I have just been blown away by the transformation that has occurred in my life.
Would you mind sharing some of what happened in terms of your shifting?
Well, the 1/1 was first, and my connectedness to Source was profound. And I've always felt a connection, but it was at a depth that I could not have ever imagined was possible. The knowing, the intuitiveness, the visions that have been brought forth to me, I feel I've been gifted with them, to speak to people or with people about them. And the clarity as far as my purpose, I mean, I've always been a healer. But, you know, and have shifted from modern medicine into the energy healing realm. But the purpose is so clear, and it's so definite. And, you know, I tease people that, you know, I'll be on my deathbed, and I'll still be trying to heal people, or I'll be trying to facilitate something, you know?
Right, right, yes.
Yeah, and then for me, in addition, I think with the 222 really came a jump into that aspect of me getting my voice back. And what I mean by that is my willingness to speak up and to speak out and to share. And, you know, I tend to be a very quiet person anyway, but it's kind of like seem to be jumping right into the core of something and identifying something for what it really is and not going, you know, around things to try to get there. And so that's what I have to contribute. I know people, I'm really looking forward to learning more about this. And you're giving a course, a class?
Yes, in October here in the Seattle area, I'm going to be training practitioners or people who just want to be able to learn more about it or share it with family. You know, you don't have to be like a professional healer. We get all sorts of people in these seminars. But yes, it's thank you for sharing your personal experience, because what you've described is what we often hear. I mean, it blows my mind, because, you know, here I am sort of as the human evaluating the aspects that my spirit has helped to bring through to share with the world. And it's kind of like I'm in awe of it. And yet, on the other hand, it feels just normal. It's kind of like here we are showing up at this time in our own ways to share these things with people and to share of ourselves with the planet. And it's just like, it's kind of like, oh yeah, of course. And there's an aspect of the transformation that a lot of people experience after their 111 and 222 activations, where it's almost like what used to feel like a really big deal, expressing ourselves fully, setting boundaries, you know, not the reactive kind of boundaries like, you know, don't do that to me, but rather, no, I'm not going to allow you to do that to me. That connection between the mind and the heart that often happens, that sort of intuitive collaboration with that guidance that is, whether you call it spirit guides or the information in the field, as Lynn McTaggart mm-hmm. coined, whatever, however you put it, it's kind of like, yes, it's a big deal as the shift occurs, and then it's just sort of mundane, like, of course, and I feel my spirit, and I can feel the energy flowing in this direction. I can tell that there's a problem here within me, or I feel that I've got some emotion coming up. I need to just sort of be present with it and feel it, experience it, release it. It's just like, it's a big deal in some ways. In other ways, it's just kind of like, well, of course, at this stage on our planet, and with who we are in on our missions, like, yes, of course, this is just, you know, another stage of how we're deepening into ourselves and ultimately to the connection with the planet and beyond.
Yeah, it does seem very natural. I think that's what surprised, one of the things that surprised me about it, is that it did uh-huh. have that very matter-of-fact sort of feeling about it.
Yeah, and that, you know, again, to my analytic mind, it's sort of like, you know, if you're experiencing some sort of stress in your life and suddenly you release the stress, like let's say you're in a really unhappy job and you don't really understand like the effect that it's having on your physicality, and then you quit your job and all of a sudden you feel this great ease and you realize, oh, this is naturally what I'm supposed to be experiencing. I see how broken things were before, how out of alignment I was. It's kind of the same way. It's like this matter of fact, like, oh, yes, but of course. And my goodness, you know, I can't believe I didn't speak my truth before. I can't believe that I wasn't following my inner guidance as much. I can't believe that I didn't set boundaries in these situations, you know, and that I allowed myself to stay in that victim mode or codependence or whatever it is. It's like suddenly when things shift, it's kind of like, yes, but of course, this is naturally who I am.
Mm-hmm. I also felt that a sense of fear had fallen away.
Oh, yes.
That there was... I don't know, kind of stepping into being brave.
Mm-hmm.
That occurred.
Yeah.
And I witnessed that in people around me who have also had these activations done.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's interesting when they, you know, we're together, they call me up and say, you know, did you ever notice this, or has this, you know, been a part of your experience?
Uh-huh.
And then I just ask them to describe what their awareness was, you know. And,
right.
It's just that stepping into the full authenticity, and it makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I am very fascinated by the fact that although not everybody experiences the exact same thing, there's a certain commonality. And again, my analytic mind loves this, that there are, you know, regular shifts that people tend to experience. And to me, that says, you know, when looking at this within the context of what's going on in this world, I mean, we've got to, even in like those of us who live in cushy parts of the world, and, you know, we have enough to, you know, have a house, you know, roof over our heads, or an apartment, and we have enough to get groceries and to take care of our children, put clothes on their backs. Still, within that realm, there are a lot of people who are unhappy right now. They're feeling, you know, unease. They're feeling like they want to break out of something, and they don't even know what. Like they want to break out of a jail, and they don't even know what those bars in their jail are made out of. So to have people kind of experiencing these typical types of shifts is really wonderful when you're looking at the big picture, because I do believe that our world is undergoing some changes, and we no longer can continue with the way things have been going. And in fact, it's not just that we're in crisis mode, we're also in kind of, shall we say, blooming mode. That seed has turned into that plant that's broken through to see the light, and that flower is just beginning to bloom. And so, you know, of course we all want to be fertilizer for that, so to speak. That makes us sound awful if we're turned into fertilizer, but you get the idea. we all want to support the full expression of the beauty of the potential of this planet that we live in, and the connection to, you know, the rest of the universe. And I do believe that even this universe as we know it is only one piece of something much grander that we can't even perceive.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. What are your insights about the energetic evolution that is underway?
Oh,
you
know,
add to that.
Well, it's funny because my inner guidance has shown me something multiple times. One, in relating to these activations, that a shift, how it can shift people's perspectives. But I think it's also really fitting when thinking about the changes underway with the world. I do believe that the energetic grid system of the Earth is changing. And, you know, I can't tell you exactly how I get like downloads of sort of these images, and it feels like there's a new kind of structure being created, an energetic structure. And if you think of us as like, oh gosh, it's almost like if you think of the structure sort of like as a computer, and you know, the US, as like we as individuals, as like plugging into the USB, you know, portion of the computer, what's happening is the connections are changing, and our old USB structure isn't fitting in, so to speak. So we can't really interact in the same way that we did once upon a time. So we have to kind of shift that. And what happens is the image I keep getting in with my inner guidance is, it's almost like if there's a cork floating on the ocean, and you put like a metal little metal rod through it, and you kind of put it through sideways. And if you think in terms of that rod kind of being like the orientation of our perception of reality, so we're kind of like we've gone along for a really, really long time kind of looking at the horizon and the ocean kind of sideways. And then when the waves get to be big, we get tossed about, and every once in a while we get a glimpse of what's upright and the real true orientation. But then we get sort of like, you know, put back down, you know, in the sideways position. Well, I do believe that what's going on right now is we are shifting energetically, and these activations help to do this as well, where the rod is getting repositioned so it's more upright in that cork. So we are kind of floating along, bobbing along, seeing the horizon and the ocean from that upright perspective more often, and occasionally gone off to the side. But what happens is, for those of us who are used to looking at things sideways, this upright perception is kind of odd, and it feels uncomfortable. And really, we, you know, there's something inside of us, perhaps, that says this is right. We're changing in a positive way, but there's something about it that feels really uncomfortable, and that's okay. So that's kind of my perception. I guess I've got mixed metaphors there: computer, USB, and the cork on the ocean. But you get the idea. It's like there's something changing here on the earth, and we have an opportunity to sort of be plugging in a new way, so we see things with the right orientation, the more truthful reality that we've had blinders on for so long.
Yeah, those are really good analogies, and I like to hear a variety, you know, of analogies, because people pick up what makes sense to them, you know, what they can, you know, visually kind of put together. And I also think that this goes way beyond it just being a new operating system for us.
Yes.
It goes way beyond that.
I think you're right. It's new hardware. And, you know, there are all sorts of channelings out there that talk about, you know, how we're shifting our structure. And, you know, I try not to listen to too many channelings, just because I don't want to bias my own inner guidance. And you know, particularly as a teacher, because it's one thing as a consumer, but it's another thing to sort of be sort of accidentally sharing with others as a teacher what is coming from somebody else and not have clarity, you know, kind of like mixing it up. You know, I don't want to bias it. But there are some interesting things out there that indicate that we are going through a physical change. And, you know, and I think part of it has to do with becoming more porous on the infinitesimal level so that we carry more light.
Yes.
And so I don't think we're about to, like, you know, ascend in the sense that we're no longer going to exist on this world, or we're going to be like these little floaty things and the earth separates. I really do believe that we've come together, and that we're actually going to be creating more and more contrast for those who are not yet shifting. And
yes,
they'll either be attracted to it to sort of like help them to vibrationally shift through, you know, the resonance that they feel from vibrational field to vibrational field, or they're going to be repelled by it and there's going to be more chaos. I don't know. But I feel very certain we're undergoing a major shift.
Yeah, and I mean, we're seeing it even just within the Earth's resonance, the Schumann resonance.
Yes, yes.
It's increased so profoundly.
Uh-huh. And it's funny, too, because just mentioning that, I've actually, you know, over the years, my different types of perceptions, my intuitive perceptions have shifted. Like, I, you know, my third eye kind of vision opened up more. I, you know, I see light, I see energies sometimes during sessions. I see some interesting things sometimes. But one of the things that's opened up for me has been some of the auditory stuff. And for many years now, I've heard this kind of sort of rumbling sound that I do believe relates to the energy, the magnetism of the earth. And it's funny, because oftentimes when people, well, sometimes when people are experiencing their 222 activation, which deals with the magnetism, or sometimes when people are learning to do the 222 activation, they begin to hear that same kind of thing, which you know, may be related to that or not, but it's that movement of the magnetism. And one of the things that some people have been able to pick up on has been relating to that flow that seems to affect the speed of what is known as the Merkaba. Have you experienced any difference in are you aware of your Merkaba, and have you experienced anything different with those?
I am, and there are times when I can really feel it moving faster.
There are people who have said during their 222 that they've become very aware of it. And I do believe that, you know, for people who aren't familiar with Merkaba, they are these, again, they're a type of energetic structure that spins above us, may spin around us, but it helps to connect us in new ways. And the 111, like the Merkaba that so many people have written about, have been ones based on intersecting square-based pyramids. And with the 111, what gets created are ones based on rhomboids. And what's so interesting to me about this is that, you know, I found a connection in the Keys of Enoch about this. It's really fascinating. But there have been a couple of different people out there who have said that our next stage of evolution relates to these intersecting rhomboid kind of Merkaba. Gary Harding is one who talks about the power of these intersecting rhomboids. And Drunvalo Melchizedek, in one of his books, at the very end, he mentions that as like that's the next latest and greatest. And so that's yet another bit of validation that I love, is like looking after the fact that what's created by the 111 is these new Merkaba. And then with the 222, I do believe it helps to speed along through magnetism, speed along the spinning of these. And there have been other people who are aware of their own Merkaba who get off the table and are like, oh my goodness, I cannot believe how fast they're spinning.
I also think that, well, for myself, I'll just speak, it seems that with the increase in the speed of the Merkaba has come an increase in life path.
Ah.
In purpose and things showing up, things, people, events, whatever those, you know, are, that they are just showing up so quickly.
Right. Like, don't you love that?
In front of me, right?
Mm-hmm. I love that, the synchronicities. It's kind of like if sometimes what happens is, you know, looking back, sometimes I'll say, you know, if I had planned it in advance, it wouldn't have been this good, you know?
Absolutely. Yes.
I remember soon after.
I just stand there quietly and smile, you know? And
yes.
Bring it on.
And the universe has a sense of humor, too, about it when they're communicating about, like, okay, you're on the right path. Here's this person. Here's that, you know, connection, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I remember one of the more amusing messages I got early on, and we got lots of messages after the 111 came through, and we were keeping it quiet. I mean, we had people coming up to us in seminars saying, I don't tell people this, I channel, but my guides tell me it's really important that they tell you that you're on the right path. Or we had people, you know, coming up and asking, the number 111 seems really important. Why is that? You know, things like that. It's kind of amusing. But for me, after getting home from, you know, going out to the San Juan Islands and with my, you know, with three dear women friends and bringing through the majority of the pieces of the 111 activation, I'm thinking, I'm not sure what I'm going to do with this, you know, whatever. And I don't know how to assimilate this. And I came home from work and was really exhausted. And I decided, instead of cooking dinner right away, I'm going to sit down and put my feet up and turn on television. Now, I'm not one to just like sort of turn on television and scan through channels and see if there's something good on, you know, it's like, whatever. But I was really guided to do it. And so I put my feet up and turned on the TV, and I'm scrolling through all these 900 and some odd channels. I'm thinking, there's not a thing on I want to watch, right? And then I heard in my head, go see what's on channel 111. So I scrolled up the guide. I looked on channel 111, and it was The New Adventures of the Old Christine.
Oh, jeez.
We have such support for us in a variety of ways, and it comes through the numbers and the people and the events, and even through the television channel guide.
It does. Oh my gosh. Yeah. It is a sense of humor, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Well, our show is, we just have about 10 minutes left in our show. And I wanted to give you the opportunity to add anything that you feel that you'd like to share with us.
Yeah. Well, you know, I want to speak to your listeners. If you're listening to my voice, then I'm thinking you might need to hear this message. It's a message that I need to remind myself of on a regular basis. If you're feeling some sort of upheaval, if something is feeling not right, if you're suddenly not manifesting in the way that you used to be able to manifest, things aren't working the way they used to, it's not because you've done something wrong or you're on the wrong path. It's you're absolutely on the right path. It's just these things are coming up for the purpose of helping you to shift. And it's not like we need to be facing these things as a point of getting to the other side of them, like, oh, I got to deal with this. I got to process release this thing because I need to let go of it. It's here because through our exploration of what is really helps to transform us. And so if you're feeling this upheaval, first of all, be loving towards yourself and accept that you haven't done anything wrong, but in fact, you've done something right because these things are coming up, allowing you to shift, allowing you to change your perspective, allowing you to welcome in new thoughts, new approaches, new energy. And if for some reason you feel that there's something about these numbers that resonate with you, if there's something about this conversation that's resonated with you, then to consider, you know, exploring something that where you are working within the quantum realm or having a practitioner work within the quantum realm to help you to shift. Because I think oftentimes what happens to us is we'll hear something, we'll read something, and suddenly we'll feel this kind of aha, this inner aha. And I encourage you to listen to that, whether it's on this show or a different book, but to follow that inner guidance, because despite all the inner chaos, really, you're being directed towards that place of joy and expansion every moment of every day.
That's wonderful advice, wonderful guidance.
And it's not always easy, you know. I'm the first to admit that, you know. It's this process has come with some difficulties. And it's, you know, I often say transformation should come with a warning label.
Yeah, I like that. When you first told me that, I thought, oh, no, what's going to happen?
Well, really, you know, it's not that the changes themselves are so difficult. It's the attachment to the old that we have to release that's from a human perspective can be difficult. And, you know,
exactly.
When you get to the other side of it, you think, I don't believe I was so worried about that. Why was I so worried about it? But when you're in the midst of it, it's kind of like you're clutching, like, no, this is familiar. You know, this is what I know. And you know, it's kind of amusing on some level. Another level, it's really it can be intense. And yet there's such ease on the other side of it, you know, and it's so worth it.
Mm-hmm. It is very much so. Very much so. Well, and I think, you know, it's the question of why does transformation typically require, you know, time and effort? Mm-hmm. And but it's such a beautiful journey, really.
It is.
You know, and it is about our relationship with Source,
mm-hmm.
and us, you know, learning to be loving towards ourselves.
Yes, mm-hmm. Amen to that. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I would like to thank you, Christine, so very much for everything you've gifted us with today.
Oh. You're so welcome. Thank you.
It's been a real joy. Yeah, it's been a real joy. Could I mention something about the 111 and 222 activation quickly, the class?
Oh, you bet.
In case anybody
has a
question. You can contact Christine or I with regards to the classes. They're going to be held the weekend of October 24th in Bellevue. And the Marriott Courtyard in Bellevue actually has a block of rooms available for people who are interested, and they will be available for us until, which date did you tell me?
Until Monday, October 5th.
Monday the 5th, okay. And Christine can be contacted through stellarreflections.com. And also, please do tune into her radio show, the Christine Upchurch Show, for more wonderful interviews with key people who are involved in the way that I describe it is aiding in raising the consciousness of humanity and spirituality as well. And I saw recently that you had interviewed Matt Kahn. I love what he's bringing forth as well.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And it is our hopes that our listeners will find today's show supportive, empowering, and perhaps has opened doors for you in your journey of healing and transformations. And if you've enjoyed this show, please share it generously on social media. Let's get the word out that there is much we can do to shift into a new vibrational pattern. And till our next show, remember to empower yourself and empower others and tap into the vibration of change. Thank you very much.